Okay, Job 37. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose and is lightning to the ends of the earth. After it a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice and he does not restrain the lightnings and his voice is heard. God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For the snow, he says, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and the rain be strong. He seals the hand of every man, and that all men may know his work. Then the beast goes into its lair and remains in its den. Out of the south comes a storm, and out of the north the cold. And the breath of God, ice is made, from the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also with moisture he loads the thick cloud, and he disperses the cloud of his lightning. And it changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it. On the face of the inhabited earth, whether for correction or for his world, or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. Listen to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wonders of God. Do you know how God establishes them and makes a lightning of his cloud to shine? Do you know about the layers of the thick clouds, the wonders of one perfect in knowledge and whose garments are hot when the land is still because of the south wind? Can you with him spread out the skies, strong as a molten mirror? Teach us, what should we say to him? We cannot arrange our case because of darkness. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Or should a man say that he would be swallowed up? And now, men, do not see the light which is bright in the skies, but the wind has passed and cleared them. Out of the north comes golden splendor. Around God is awesome majesty. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is exalted in power, and he will not do violence to justice and abundant righteousness. Therefore, men fear him. He does not regard any who are wise of heart. Amen. Amen. So this is finally the last discourse of Elihu. And then from 38 on, we kind of get to the good parts, actually the best part, and God finally speaks. But you'll notice, you know, quite clearly God speaks out of that storm. He is the voice that thunders. And so I'm just going to break it up into a couple sections here. And then from 1 through 5, Elihu is talking about the thunder of his voice. By the way, this was a very common metaphor that's been used all through the scriptures, particularly in the books of poetry. And in fact, if you turn to Psalm 29, I'll read this. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. And he makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. It's the same idea, the thunder of God's voice. And you kind of make that comparison. That's actually a very popular old vineyard song, by the way, from Psalm 29. I hope we could sing it one day. It's really quite powerful. But I think it's way before your time. So we'll find it out. And so So Elihu is telling Job, listen closely to the thunder of his voice. Again, Elihu felt that what Job really needed, he needed a huge dose of the greatness of God. Elihu is kind of a simple person. He just thought, Job, if you just, you know, like, quit looking at yourself, quit looking at your situation, just look to God, see how great he is, then you wouldn't have all these questions and all these ideas. Good advice, but wrongly applied to Job in this case. Elihu rightly understood the mighty sound of thunder seemed to be the voice of God. There's the one particular scholar that says that probably Psalm 29 is probably the best poem on the voice of God and thunder, but Elihu's comes pretty close to being quite good as well. And then 6 through 13 talks about what the voice of God can do. What can his thunder do? In verse 6, he says, "For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth." Previously, Elihu spoke of God's voice as being like mighty thunder. Now he considers the voice to be not to be like snow, but the voice of God commands it to snow, commands it to bring about a gentle rain, commands a heavy rain, and so his breath makes ice and freezes it, and also the broad waters. And it's really the it's not so much the thunder of his voice, but the power of his voice. What his voice can do, God can speak, and all of a sudden it snows. God can speak, and all of a sudden there's a gentle rain that happens. God can speak, and then next thing you know, there's a heavy rain. God breathes, and all of a sudden the water turns into ice. That's kind of the idea that he has. And then verse 7, it says, "He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Then the beast goes into its lair and remains in its den. Out of the south comes a storm, and out of the north the cold." What are you saying here? This is if you get this idea, is that when God sends the cold and the snow, then the farmer basically has to stop working. The idea is he seals his hand. It's too cold to work, so he allows him, makes him not work the fields, and instead he has to go back home. And the whole idea, what does he do? He thinks about God. This is the idea of Sabbath. He rests. He doesn't work, but then he thinks about the work of the Lord. That's the idea that's coming together here. So he seals his hand. He basically can't work, so he lays down his work. And instead, the work is really the idea that he goes and he reflects on the work of God. That's actually really the beauty of Sabbath. And this is why, you can't say this all over the world, but in most parts, that's why he brings different weather patterns. It's a time for people to rest. And I want to suggest to you that maybe even in the midst of COVID, in the midst of this time, God was asking us to take the foot off the gas pedal, just to stop, sit back, retreat back to your home, and take care of the things that are most important, which is your relationship with God and your relationship with your family. And so there are seasons and times where he seals our hands from work, where he, and sometimes, now, this might be fairly controversial statement, but sometimes that also happens when we become sick. We have to stop. We have to rest. Our body's saying, stop, 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 rest, 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 rest. And we don't listen to our bodies. And then, how it happens, right? Your immune system gets down, and then all these germs and all these things begin to attack. And then now you have to rest. And I want to suggest to you that that's part of a cycle that happens. And if we don't do it on our own, it will be done to us. In other words, you don't keep the Sabbath and you don't find the time to rest. Rest will come upon you, but in an involuntary way. Obviously, we want to do it in a voluntary way. And so this is what he does. He seals the hand of every man that men may know his work. And then in verse 12, it says, "And it changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth." And what Elihu wanted to really have Job appreciate the greatness of God in this way, but also the submission of creation. Notice, he speaks and creation submits to him. Elihu's idea is that Job, if you would just submit to God like creation submits to God. God speaks, there's thunder roars, he creates, there's power things that happen, he seals his hand, and maybe this season for you is that God is preventing you from doing some things so that you can contemplate on upon God. And just notice that creation is totally submitted to God, and so just Job, if you would just submit to the Lord, that you would be out of this situation, that you'd be out of this. And really, like this picture that he lays out of a storm in this little part is really a great metaphor. Because I don't know if you've ever been in a storm or been in a hurricane or, you know, obviously we've been here in typhoons, but it seems chaotic. I mean, things are flying all over the place. Trees are being uprooted and houses are being torn down and wind is blowing and umbrellas are breaking and all these kinds of things are happening. And in the midst of all that, it seems like it's chaos and everything is just kind of thrown in a loop, but yet God is in control of it all. And it's Elihu's way of saying, Job, your life may seem like it's totally chaotic. Things are all over the place, but just because of God's greatness and the thunder of his voice, and maybe he's giving this time to rest, but, you know, make sure that he is in absolute control of every detail, which is absolutely true. And so Elihu, he speaks a lot of truth during this time. And then we get to, from 14 on, we get to his final advice. His final advice, finally, you know, after all this time. I mean, this guy had the most chapters so far. And his final advice, in verse 14, he says, "Listen to this, O Job, stand and consider the wonders of God." Elihu, right, again, had a lot of good ideas, and he wants him to understand the greatness of God. But the premise of this whole crisis that's upon Job, the premise of it is wrong. Elihu thinks it's because of his sin. But we know, because remember, we have access to Job 1 and 2, that wasn't the case. There was something else that was going on. And then in 19, it says, "Teach us what we shall say to him." Here, Elihu is really confronting what he believed really was Job's arrogance to the fact that basically saying that he deserved an audience with God and he deserved, you know, justification from God. And basically, in his way, Elihu is saying, Job, if you insist, right, that God owes you an audience, then please, and that's the verse 19, teach us what we should say to him. He was really trying to get Job to understand that his approach is futile, that there's an impossibility of knowing God perfectly, and basically his complaining is folly before the Lord. And in verse 23, as we wrap this up, he says, "The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is exalted in power, and he will not do violence to justice and abundant righteousness." Elihu returned to this theme of God's distance and his transcendence. He wanted to discourage Job from insisting that God owed him or anyone else an audience or an explanation. Significantly, the God whom Elihu believed to be utterly beyond unreachable by man, he says, right, we cannot find him. 38 and on, guess what? God shows up. It's almost as if God is listening to Elihu all this whole time, telling Job that God is too big for him, you know, that God is transcendent, he's beyond him, he doesn't need any, give you an explanation and all these things. And then this whole time Elihu is speaking and God is approaching through this storm. You know, I mean, that's kind of like the biggest slap in the face if you think about it, right? He's telling Job, see, God's too big for you. And then God shows up to speak to Job and to speak to Elihu and his three friends during this time. He does come in the storm and he does speak to Job. He is transcendent. I mean, he's huge in all these things, but he's also a personal God. He's a God that shows up He's a God that loves us. And it's almost like God saying, all right, I've heard enough of these knuckleheads. You know, I'm going to show up. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on. And that's basically what we have going from 38 on down. Okay, so let's close our eyes. I want to go back to just that verse 7. He seals. Why so dark in here? Let there be light. Thank you. All right. So he seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. And so I just want to encourage you that there are times that God wants us to take a break. There are times that God wants us to rest. He creates the Sabbath. And it's not just like resting and not doing anything. I know some of you guys just think Sabbath, your day off, is about sleeping. No, it's about thinking of the wonders of God. Sabbath was created for us to stop and meditate. You know, we even have that word, recreation, which we think is hobbies and sports and all those, but it's recreate. Go back to the Lord. Recreate. That's what recreation is. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about Sabbath, about rest. Like I said, if you don't, your body will start breaking down and you will have an involuntary rest. So are you spending your off days, your Sabbath, are you spending it in worship, in fellowship, or are you spending it in Netflix? I mean, nothing necessarily wrong with that. Unless it's all you're doing. But Sabbath is for the Lord. He says he seals the hand, and so they may think and meditate upon the Lord. And as we sing, as we worship, well, let's commit to give our Sabbaths to him.
Yeah. yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable. Indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by. You are amazing, God. Awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Let's go before the Lord. Let's thank Him for giving us the rest that we need, our bodies, the ability to recuperate and to heal itself, our minds to be refreshed, our emotions to be tempered. Let's thank Him that He gives us that time of rest, and let's take advantage of it. And let's think about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, in fact, as Elihu would say. And if you're not really doing Sabbath, and if you're not really resting like you should, let's make a commitment and let's ask God, so Lord, what is making me strive? What is it that's driving me that I don't take care in the way that you've asked us to as human beings? Well, let's pray this morning. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning, and let's pray over our government. Let's pray for just the wisdom of God to flow through our leaders. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's cry out for revival in our city. Let's pray for churches that the gospel we proclaim powerfully. Let's pray for our friends here, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, sons and daughters, Mother's Choice. Let's pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray over our staff. Let's just pray for just the wisdom of God, just the work of the Spirit to operate so strongly. Let's pray that our ministry would flow out of our relationship with God. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministry. So pray for welcoming and for barista. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers that they would just really serve the Lord with all of their heart. And there would be a very refreshing smile and welcome to everyone who comes and visits the SP. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. And let's pray for our musicians, our sound people, our singers, that they would really give glory to God and their abilities, and that would really lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for house church tonight. First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Opeak Road, Princeton, and Soho, as they discuss the 4 points, and really more importantly, that they would recognize this is their church, that the My Church would really be emphasized and really honored tonight. And let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God. Thank you that your voice thunders over the waters, that it commands snow and the rain. God, even your breath, God, turns the broad waters into ice. And Lord, and the creation, Lord, submits to you, to the sound of your voice. Lord, help us to have that same kind of heart of submission, that we submit to your voice, we submit to what you say. But we say as Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, we thank you. And we hear you, God, about Sabbath. And so give us a discipline to rest and to seal our hands, God, that we may think upon your wonders. God, we thank you. We love you, Father. Just continue to work in our lives in a deep way. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow. We finally get to God's voice.